Regarding that, I mean, I'm just trying to find, where to make a balance here between the inner and the outer. And I mean, we've got Scott with you here. This is why Israel is just in very shocking defeat against the Iran Hezbollah. And he's pointing out here that Iran, actually, as much as we who consume, and build our worldview from Western-produced media, imagine in Iran as an evil dictatorship, right? With religious theocracy, even worse than top level. But actually, he says, because here's a former CIA weapons inspector guy who's really been around and who has met many of those people who knows things. It's like that. So he knows what he's talking about, it sounds. And he's saying that Iran, and you could probably look that up if you want to really find the facts, they have ethics. If they make an agreement, if they promise something, they stick to it. They hold their promises. And as they now did a missile attack on Israel, Tel Aviv, then they firstly warned first about it to the US. And then they didn't hit any civilians. I think one person was hit and killed, and but military target. And afterwards, they said that this is it. This is it now. We will not do anything more. In other words, they had to show retaliation to what Israel had done to them, but they did not desire further war. So, and I heard also that in the war with Iraq way back, Iraq attacked them with chemical weapons, and within the government there were talks about should we retaliate with chemical weapons likewise, an eye for an eye and all that. But they came to the conclusion that no, it's not allowed in our religion. I think I can find that quote too. This quote here from Scott Ritter is something about, yeah, this starts like 10 minutes into this video, which I'm saving. So, in other words, and this gives me some hope that those who are actually building and acting upon a platform of higher knowledge, which religious knowledge is supposed to be, not just that, and the others we can treat as animals or less because they have the devil on their side. And fundamentally, if we can get rid of that and actually real strength, the real goodness, the real makes sense, the reality behind, that has turned to these kind of religions, and get rid of that strange, mundane, that kind of twisted and distorted structure that religion, spirituality into. And we find sectarian religion, that fundamentalist, judgmental form of warring religion. In Asia, if you look at Asian culture, you don't find that so much there. as far as I understood, it developed, you know, around the Roman Empire there back in the days, Constantine, and then there were in conflict with the Saracens, or this is Zoroastrian Persia, which was powerful then, and then, you know, you got Islam entering the scene originally, I think, having friendship with the Christians because they same Abrahamic tradition, and then they started fighting, and in this way it went on, you know, went on. But in China, if you look at their history, they didn't have that. They had more philosophical dialogue going on. Of course, that also became influential for the leaders, the emperor, and so on, but more in an inspirational way, because I think they were smarter, and they are still. I think they look more at the actual content because they have more philosophy, more knowledge there. Not just a book that you should believe in, a single little book. There are piles of books and incredibly developed philosophical, you know, knowledge of cosmology, psychology, and all that, and health science, which is all connected. There's this kind of holistic view there, and which also includes that we all are connected, and we should build our civilization here on Earth so that we all can be happy and, you know, at least leave each other in peace, if not even cooperating the way we can. I mean, this is the, and it's even hard for us here in the West to imagine that this is over there in Asia. And I can hear, you know, some people listening to this, and they might laugh, "Oh, what a naive idiot." But, you know, I spent a year in China altogether, living with the Chinese people and studying their history and their society, traveling around and really looking at how life is there, down on the ground, out in the villages, in the countryside, and in the homes, in the towns, cities. And I've been in India 11 times. I know India pretty well. Used to work there, and I've been around, and I can say that, and I've studied that their knowledge, especially the Indian one, very deeply, I dare to say. And yeah, it is true. And we've got things to learn from Asia. We Westerners, I know it's hard to take, you know, in history and the worldview that I grew up with in school and so on here in Sweden. The world, kind of the civilized world, you know, this bright, enlightened world, it started somewhere, you know, Turkey or something like that, Greece. And to the east of that, it was just some strange, weird, primitive, superstitious, old cultures that are just not very relevant anymore. That's how we learned it. And, you know, in India, people, they were so primitive, they didn't even know how to get their own food, so they were starving. So we here should send them money and help, food and help them. I'm not kidding, this is the outlook we got. So, yeah, what I'm talking about is that I'm speaking to Iran, the Iranian leaders. I'm speaking to this in Israel, you know, you're supposed to be God conscious too, aren't you? But, you know, God, servant of God conscious person doesn't just kill innocent civilians because you don't like them, or that they are still living in a country that you invaded. I mean, these kind of things. So this has to come from the heart of each and every one of us. And that's why I'm saying that if the religions, those people who actually consider themselves spiritual servants of God, who are now sitting in leading positions of religions, if you would understand this, that we're all, there's one God or two, male and female, as you find, or whatever concept you have, you know, one supreme Godhead, who we are all children of, and thus we shall all respect and support and help each other as a family does. Of course, at least in our attitude toward each other, then that would save the world. And we know it. The wars would stop. I'm saying it would. At least we would have nations on the planet that are actually upheld by and guided by, and I don't dare say ruled by because it sounds very theocratic, but this kind of culture, the sattvic, the peaceful, peace-loving, respectful, balanced, wise culture that works for, you know, restoring the harmony between us humans and the nature around us, which is otherwise another conflict that we humans would lose, at war with nature, but living in harmony with nature and with each other and between countries. And if you are such a cynic that you think that this is not possible for humans, then, well, speak for yourself. Because what you're really saying is that you are not ready to take that step, to live like that. But if you are, if you live like that, maybe you are already, but if you don't, then if you start doing it, you will notice something. The people around you will appreciate you, appreciate that, and they will be inspired by you and your example, and will start behaving that, like that too. And then maybe, you know, they say that in six steps we're all connected to each other, and maybe a friend of a friend of a friend and so on is a friend of the top leader. And in this way, your little change in your life changed the world. I'm not just trying to be positive, you know, pep talky here, but I'm trying to be a realist. And I would say this is reality.